Well, glory. How many know that we were talking about last week a little bit about fasting, and we mentioned Matthew chapter 6. We'll go back there for a minute. Matthew chapter 6. And here Jesus was talking, and we mentioned first in verse 5 where Jesus said, when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. In other words, we're not praying or we're not even fasting. We're not seeking God so that men see us, but it's so that we know Him. Amen. We're going after Him to know Him. You know, everybody says, well, God knows me. Yes, He knows you, but do you know Him? Is He number one in your life? Is His love for Him number one? Knowing Him, knowing who He is and how He operates. See, the Bible said that the children of Israel saw the acts of God as they went into the desert and so forth. But the Bible says that Moses knew God's ways. He knew what was God's heart. He knew what God wanted. He understood who God was. He had a relationship with the Father under the old covenant, which was really, really awesome. I think David kind of had that also. He had kind of an understanding, knowing that his father would not destroy him because the men were hungry and they ate some of the showbread in the table, even though by law they were not supposed to. But God knew the heart of God. God knew the heart of God. David knew the heart of God. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. Anyway, praise the Lord. But we've talked about that, and just like he said here, he assumes that you're going to pray. Verse 16 talks about the fasting part. It says, moreover, just like he says, when you pray, when you fast. Don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Amen. Hallelujah. So that means it's going to be seen, the things that we do when we seek Him and we know Him. That means people will know like they did in the New Testament, remember in the book of Acts, and they begin to realize and recognize these men had been with Jesus. They knew they had been with God. And as we seek Him and as we know Him, people will know you've been with Him. Because His presence, how many know His presence lingers with you? It doesn't just disappear. You don't just go spend time with Him and then it's over. No, no, no. He goes with you. He lives in you. And when we recognize that and we allow ourselves to be more aware of that. And here we said last week, Jesus assumed that we would fast. He said, when you fast. Hallelujah. Not if, but when. And that's a good question. And we talked a little bit about one thing that fasting will do is help us to humble ourselves. And there in Psalms 35:13, David said that he had humbled his soul with fasting. In other words, fasting helps us to present our soul, our intellect, our mind, our intellect, our will, our emotions. And we said that a lot of times our will says, you know, different things. It says, I want, doesn't it? I want this or I want that. Our natural will. Our natural soul says, I think. I think this and I think that. And our emotions say, I feel. I feel this and I feel that, but God says, what we want is not really what's important, is it? But it's to be willing and obedient to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we want what He wants. And when we begin to fast, we present our soul, our emotions, our thinking, our will to the will of the Father. And we're saying, Lord, I humble myself before You, not my will, Lord, but Your will be done. I am saying, hey, I'm humbling myself. I'm bringing my soul into subjection, in other words. What my emotions try to tell me, what my mind or my natural thinking tries to tell me, what my will tries to tell me, and I bring it subjection unto God's will. And we do that. You said, well, what? How does that work? I mean, fasting. I mean, just not eating. Well, what we're doing is we're enforcing the place that God said as a Christian, as a born-again believer, what it's forcing us, it's what our body has been declared. Romans 8:10, he said that the body was declared something. Let's look at that. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Because it's not just humbling yourselves, but it's doing something for our flesh, the fleshly part of us. And Romans 8:10 says this, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, in the sixth chapter, he also said that we consider what our body dead. We don't look at the fleshly part of us. Our body has a certain amount of craving. Okay? Your outward man. It desires certain things. It wants to eat too many cookies. Or too much chocolate. How many know if you just eat sugar all the time and that's all you eat, that's not good for your body, is it? And we see people like that sometimes. And, you know, they're not just large, but they become ill and their immune system gets run down and their body is not strong and healthy. As if, like you, hopefully, you know, we discipline ourselves at least to eat a balanced meal, right? We want to have some vegetables in there. Mom said, eat your vegetables. Why? Because there's some vitamins that you need in there. You know, I mean, I can say, well, it's good. You know, we can eat meat. Meat's good for you. Eggs are good for you. You know, but you know, if all you eat is one thing, if I just sit down, I like watermelon, bring me more watermelon, that's all I eat is watermelon, I'm going to become deficient in some things, aren't I? So we want to have the balanced diet. And even in the kingdom of God, when we begin to fast, God helps us to bring our soul, our emotions under control, where they don't keep talking to us so loud. So that when the craving comes, see, there is a pull of the flesh. How many know the flesh will pull you? You know, I know what, I remember what Pastor Allen said one time. He's talking about fasting, and they had two dogs, and one of their dogs liked to go on the walks, you know. They'd be ready, and you put them on the leash, and off they go, you know. And he'd walk, and their other dog, he didn't like to go on a walk. They'd get out, he said, we get out to the sidewalk, and the dog just lay down. Well, come on now, you know, come on. No, the dog's laying down, you know. But how many know if you're walking your dog, and then there's a squirrel that comes along your dog's path, and your dog's not so trained, right? You can feel that pull, can't you? You feel the pull on the rope because he's trying to run after that squirrel and you've got to hold him back. And that's many times like our flesh. Sometimes there's things in our flesh that we desire, but we hold it back. And part of holding that back is that fasting. It pulls our flesh under control so that we ourselves don't allow our fleshly man, our carnal man, the one that has carnal appetites and wants to do sometimes the wrong things. And so you say, well, that's not God. Well, it's not your spirit man. Your spirit man is not the one that's going after those things because it loves God. Your spirit wants to pray. Your spirit wants to seek heaven. Your spirit wants to read the Word of God. It wants to share Jesus with people. It wants to be the light. But it has to come through a physical body. And we've said this many times. The thing is, we've been born again and we've got the new nature unto heaven. But how many know it's you still are trapped in this physical body right now? And if you don't have this physical body, guess what? You, the real you, are no longer here. You've gone to heaven or wherever your eternal destination is. And I believe it's heaven, right? Amen. Hallelujah. For all of us, we want heaven or God's eternal existence with God. We know we're not going to be there forever, but that's the whole point is we humble our heart to surrender something and to enforce the place that our body was declared. Even God said, I can't do much with that body. This, you know, and in other places it calls it the body of sin, the body of death. You know, this outward man is what? Decaying. This outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, that being said, we do have promise from God that we can walk in health and we can have strength in our physical body. Amen. Until we gain what? The glorified body. All of us have a glorified body. Did you know that? We just don't have it right now. It's on account. It's kind of like what Abraham had. He had righteousness from God. He was right with God based on his belief in what? In Jesus who was to come, in the coming Messiah. He had faith in God. His faith gave him what? Accounted righteousness. In other words, he was right before God, even though the provision was not yet made. And so for us, we are counted in our physical body. We've got one to our account. Amen. And one day we'll receive that physical body and there'll be no pain and there'll be no sorrow and there's not going to be any struggle. Amen. You don't have to resist sin, right? We don't have to resist the temptations of the flesh. Praise God. Won't that be awesome? Amen. How many think that's going to be a great day? Amen. And I know some people are looking to go there. Hallelujah. We all are, I hope. And that is our hope. That is our blessed hope. And we have that expectation. I'm talking about godly hope, not natural hope. I hope I make it. Well, I hope you make it too, but praise the Lord. There are ways that we can be sure and know. Amen. Have you applied the blood to the heart of yourself? Have you put your faith in that blood? Amen. Now, we said too, sometimes the results of fasting are not always, we don't always see that result immediately. And sometimes, you know, I fasted and prayed. It didn't seem immediate. It didn't seem very dramatic. You know, sometimes we're looking for something dramatic. I know, I remember Pastor Dave, he thought, well, if I could just go on a 40-day fast, this would solve all my problems. And he even tried to get somebody to take care of his bills so he could go on a 40-day fast and seek God and this will take care of some things. But how many know that's not the cure-all? It's knowing him. Amen. Fasting is not the cure-all. Just like reading your Bible is not the cure-all. It's part of it. But it's applying what God said. Amen. We have to still become willing and obedient to what he said. We have to take the whole counsel of God's word and apply it to our life. I mean, that's why we've talked on what? We've talked about love. We talked about prayer, praying in tongues, what it will do for you, meditating in the word of God, spending time with him, getting to know God. Well, why are you constantly saying we've got to what? be transformed to the image of Jesus. These are keys. These are things that God has given us that we can apply to our life. And it will help us to, number one, we talked about mostly last time, that we're humbling ourselves. If we humble ourselves before the Lord, He will lift us up. Amen. See, God doesn't humble your heart. You do. Amen. You and I do. I can't find anywhere in the Bible that says, well, God humbled him. Well, it said, well, as in Hezekiah, you know, he finally humbled his heart. God had made his, you know, really, God didn't really humble him. He humiliated him. Amen. Could you imagine that? Being the king and you're out like an animal and you grow feathers out your back and you're out there for 7 years out of your mind. And finally he realized, hey, maybe I should humble my heart. It took a little while. He said, well, God humbled him. Well, not really. God more or less humiliated him. And God will, you know, you may face some humiliating situations in your life. And we need to say, all right, Lord, I'll humble my heart. Yes, I receive this, Lord. Where can I humble myself, Father? And one way we can do that on purpose is we humble our heart. We humble ourselves with fasting. And we say, Lord, I'm going to begin this fast. And my body, of course, says, hey, you're hungry. You're thirsty. You know, it's abstaining from food, not water necessarily. Keep drinking water. Now, there has been a few supernatural fasts in the Bible. If God calls you on a supernatural fast, then that would be fine, or maybe for a day or two or something like that. But mostly just, you know, the problem is I had a good friend of mine. He went on a fast. He was only fasting about 3 or 4 days. But he didn't drink much water, enough water. And he couldn't figure out what's wrong with him. And he ended up in the hospital. Do you know what the problem was? He was simply dehydrated. So I don't want that to happen to anybody. That's just a little help. If you're fasting, please drink water. But here we're seeing here that we are doing something. We are enforcing a place, a positional truth that God has declared your body dead. In other words, your body cannot control you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You have dominion over your body. And what fasting begins to do, it allows us to take on purpose control and deal with our soul and with our will and with our emotions and say, Lord, I am yours. I'm coming to you. And we move ourselves into a place of position where we are able to receive from God. We're not moving him, we're moving us. All right, I want everybody to understand that. God's already, he's provided it. He's already provided many things for us. Have you ever had the prayer and you're having struggle getting that prayer answered? You know, and sometimes people say, well, I begin to fast and pray and it came. Well, not because you moved God, because you moved you to a position to receive from him. Our faith begins to increase. Our expectancy on the inside moves forward. Our spiritual man is more in control than the natural man. See, it's bringing greater ascendancy over the natural, over our emotion, over our thinking, and over our fleshly body, our cravings that come to us. Hallelujah. I know that sometimes there's things that God may ask you to do. You say, well, I'm, you know, Lord, I'm willing, you know, but you're slow to obey. You know, because why? Sometimes the willingness is not as great as we thought it was. We mean well in our heart. How many know that? How many believe the disciples meant well? Lord, of course, you know, they wanted to stay that hour. They wanted to be with the Lord and seek him, seek God and pray for him. Nevertheless, their flesh overcame them and they went to sleep. And so we're overcoming the things of this flesh. What is it in me or in you that doesn't care about the lost? Or doesn't care about other people in this world? See, God wants to highlight things to us in our hearts that may not be quote unquote major sin, but they may be a stumbling block in our walk with Him. Amen. How many know the Bible says we don't just put away sin, but we also set aside weights that would so easily what? Beset us or hold us back, right? The weight, how many know weights hold you back, right? Or they help you. One, because you train a lot of runners, they might train. I remember my friend, he grew up in Kentucky. And he talked about that. He became a great runner because he would go to school. His school was about 10, and this is not an exaggeration, it was like 15 miles away. You know, 10 to 15 miles. And every day, he had these ropes that he got, and he would put these cinder blocks on. He would tie these ropes to the cinder blocks, and he would run to school and run home from school with these cinder blocks. You know what a cinder block is? Just a square block like we have, like you see that you make in your basement. You know, they have those blocks. And he had a couple of those, and he would run with those every day. Every day, to and from school. I mean, they couldn't believe when he was actually wanting to go into the Olympics at one time. And he probably would have been quite good. But how many know what happens when you cut that rope and you get rid of those weights? Whew. Yeah, the weights held him back and they helped increase his strength for a while. But how many know when those weights are cut, they were laid aside or he took them off, he could run even faster. And actually, when he joined the army, they were very shocked because he could outrun everybody. He was always the first one done. Amen. But, you know, so, but there are things, sometimes there's weights in our life that we have to lay aside so that we can walk and run with God. Amen. All right. And fasting deals with these things. It begins to deal with our emotion. Maybe it's anger that you deal with. Maybe there's a fear there. Maybe it's something else. It doesn't have to be, you know, and you say, well, maybe it's something you don't recognize or realize is even in your life right now. You say, well, I wasn't recognizing that. But you spent time in prayer. You spent time, a little time fasting, and you built your spirit man up to that place where God could reveal to you. Oh, wow. Maybe, like we said, even maybe it's pride is stuck back in. Maybe a selfishness or a desire to be seen or that hunger for some kind of acceptance. And we need to realize that it only can come from one place, and that's from Him. And He's the one that really completes us, see. A lot of times people want to get married, but they're not really complete in who they are. They want their mate or their husband or wife to give them joy. But really, how many know we have to decide that we're going to be a person after God and we're going to walk in joy. And we're going to be what? Complete in Him, see. And when we have things in our hearts settled, you know, and we are a person that is satisfied in ourselves, now we're ready to give. See, we understand how much God already loves us. We're not trying to get it from a husband or wife. Not that there isn't mutual love, but how many know? If you're not complete in yourself, you can drain somebody. You can become so absorbed with them. And you're trying to get them to be your supply when it has to be our Father. Amen. He'll love you unconditionally. He'll love you completely. He'll love you until all you know is love. Hallelujah, when you get to know Him. So I'm just giving some examples, a few things. Or maybe it's something that He's asked you to lay down. Maybe you're having trouble with, I know some people here, they have broke up with food. Amen. So, well, I broke up with food. It's not my Lord anymore. It's not going to tell me what I'm going to do. It's not going to tell me what to eat. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So exactly how we do that, we're saying that You know, we want to do that. And exactly how you abstain fasting, that's up to you. You make those decisions and you say, well, I'm going to skip breakfast, or you're going to skip your lunch every day this week, or you're going to just have water, you know, or maybe you want to do a few fruit juices or something like that. But please be careful, especially if you get acidic juices. Make sure you water them down well, because it can be difficult on your stomach, I should say. And I could give my example, but the first time I thought I'd go on a fast, I fasted. I made it 6 days, but I was drinking everything. I drank all kinds of soda pop. I didn't know, you know, cut that out of your life. I'm just recommending it. It could be a little hard on your stomach. Then I drank all these sodas, and I would drink some broth, and, you know, I was like, oh, man, suffering for Jesus, you know, and I was praying, you know, and seeking God, and fasting. I made it that 6th day, and oh, I was throwing up, and I had all kinds of things I won't say, but oh, man, I was sick to my stomach. I finally had to stop. If I hadn't drank the soda pop and certain other things, I'd have been all right. So please be careful, and I'm just recommending. You know, I'm not telling you what to do. Praise the Lord, but it's a good idea to kind of let your own fleshly house clean house. Water is one of the greatest cleansers there is in the world. Contrary, I don't care what doctor have told you, whatever, but I'm just guarantee you, fasting will help you clean house. It'll get your body, you know, you'll feel a little better. It can take some of the things in your joints that crystallize and so forth, and you're like, wow, I feel good, I feel better. You know, you get rid of certain toxins and things. So there's some good things that can happen in your body. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Let's move on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus, if you remember, why did Jesus want us to fast? And the main reason is, for what we've said, the will has a mind of its own sometimes. Amen. Like we shared with if you're walking the dog, I mean, sometimes that dog just decides, I'm not going with you, you know, or he runs off and you can't hardly hold him back. If you've ever walked a dog, you know, if not, you can see it, you know, when other people do, sometimes they're with their pet. And, you know, I was out the other day, I was out on the sidewalk, and the guy brings his dog by, and for whatever reason, his dog decides he wants to come over and see me. And he's trying to keep him back, and he just couldn't. He says, no. I said, it's all right. So he comes over till I pet him, and then he was willing to go with his master, you know. But he was a little resistant. He began to get a mind of his own, and that's kind of what our flesh can do. And even in Paul, you know, after writing many books of the Bible, had to keep his body under. You know, he said he was in fastings, what, often? You know, oftentimes he said, I was in fasting. And even when he was in the shipwreck, he had been fasting. Remember when he went on the ship and he told them, he says, I perceive we should not leave. And he was already a prisoner, so he didn't have much clout in what he had to say. He's the prisoner on the boat, and he says, I perceive that this will be of much destruction, this trip, if we're not careful. I don't think we should leave. But they didn't listen to him. Captain said, oh, it'll be all right. It's going to be okay. But it was getting close to that time when the storms normally come. You know, maybe it wasn't quite there yet, but how many know? Sometimes it can snow in September, right? Or October. Maybe it's not quite snow time, but it'll snow anyway, right? Every once in a while. And Paul perceived there's going to be a problem. They took off anyway. And what happened? They got into the storm for many days and many nights. And Paul began to start fasting and seeking God. And a couple of weeks into it, they were out there for a while. You know how long that is to be in a storm? My goodness. But he had been seeking God, and the angel of the Lord said, don't worry, you tell him, hey, the angel of the Lord appeared to me last night. He said, everybody will be okay if you listen to me. And he, the prisoner, became the captain of the ship. How many know God can move you up in life? He can exalt you. He said, if we humble ourselves, you'll be exalted to that place. And Paul had humbled himself, and the mind of God came to him. And he said, now listen, you know, we got to get this ship somehow to shore. They started finding out how deep's the water, and put the soundings down and realized we're heading somewhere. We're coming to an island. There it is. And, you know, the ships broke up and the ship was lost. But how many remember? No lives were lost. Came to the island of Melita. Paul's still in charge, even though the viper bit him and some of the people thought, oh, he must be a murderer. He shook it off in the fire. Why? Because he knew his God. See, this is part of knowing him. It's part of walking with him, keeping our flesh under control. Well, glory. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Now, here we have a list of some things that I'm not saying anybody's in these sins or any of these things, but these are things sometimes that the flesh desires here. Five, let's go to verse 16 and read here. 16 and 17 says this. It says, and I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you wish. So here we see part of what we're doing. We're saying, hey, our spirit, in other words, has to get strong. Therefore, we're going to spend some extra time in prayer. And our flesh wants to take control. It's warring against us. So we're going to put it in the place that it belongs. And we're not going to give it any place. We're going to fast. We're not going to give it food. We're not going to give it fuel to take control of us. And we're going to seek the face of heaven. It says, but if you're led of the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. And it gives a list of some of the works of the flesh. They're evident. Idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, sorcery, right? Any of these things, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. You know, anybody here ever been tempted to be envious? I have. Maybe you haven't. You know, look what they got. Lord, how come you bless them? What's wrong with me? Come on, God, what's the deal? Yeah. Don't you love me? But you love them? Look at what they got. I like all these guys, you know, they would say, well, you know, they've already been to college. See, they got their education, but sometimes they'd say, well, you don't need a great education. You just need God, you know, which is true. We do need him. But if he's guiding you and you're led of the Spirit, he may lead you into more education. Amen. There's nothing wrong with it. It helps you in this life. And God will many times use that if you're surrendered to what? To him. But we got to be careful not to let our will take over, our personal will, to do what we want, and we're doing what he wants. Amen? Isn't it a shame? Like they said, you know, the guy, ooh, he's building his tower to success, and he's climbing the ladder to the top, and he gets to the top, and he found out he was on the wrong building. And his life is over. But as long as you're breathing, it's not too late for you. You can still walk and know and fulfill the things of God in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at a few things in the New Testament where they fasted. Just a few scriptures here. Acts chapter 13. How many know what Acts 13 says? Oh, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John took an axe. Okay, Acts 13:1.
says.
Anyway, Acts 13, 1 through 3, it says this. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, Manian, who also had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So we see here, I mean, how many think that the problem was that God didn't hear them when they prayed? No, God heard them, but they needed to hear from God. Amen? How many know sometimes, you know, when you're fasting and praying, it's not for God to hear you, but for you to hear him down here on low. Not him up high. He's got it. He hears you. How many know he heard Daniel the first day he prayed, the Bible says. Remember, he said, it was the prince of Persia that has tried to stop the answer, but the first day I heard you. So here we have where they were sending some men out, and the Lord spoke to them about that, and when they had fasted and prayed, sought God, they laid hands on them. So here's really the Apostle Paul being sent out. He and Barnabas are here, and they said, hey, for the work to which they were called to do. Amen. Sometimes, in other words, perhaps you think Barnabas and Saul, they probably already knew the work they're called to do. Sometimes we know that work, but there comes the timing of God. And that comes from what? Hearing from him and seeking God and knowing. And here the leaders had fasted and prayed and sent them out. And it says here, being sent out by what? The Holy Spirit. They went down to Cilicia. And there they sailed to Cyprus. Now see, some people don't wait for the Holy Spirit to send them. They just got up and went. And then they wondered why things aren't working out so good. But if we'll be patient and we'll seek him and we'll hear from him and we'll let those that God has called us to be with and to walk with hear from him, we'll be sent by what? The Holy Spirit. How many would like to be sent by the Holy Spirit? That is the third person of the Godhead. See, there is a timing of God. Even though Paul was a witness, I'm sure he had already witnessed. You know, as a matter of fact, he kind of got himself a little bit of trouble there, and they had to let him down in the basket, and they said, "Paul, go back home for a little bit. Go back to Tarshish right now. We don't want you to be killed before you're able to fulfill what God's called you to do." Amen. Hallelujah. And so how many know there's a time that God has we need to continue to seek him and know him. Amen. All right, Acts 14, 21, the next chapter over. Acts 14, verse 21. We see another time here that is there, and here's some strengthening of some converts. It says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and staying, we must through many tribulations inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 23. "So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Here they spent some time. See, people don't really understand this, but you know, it says more about fasting in the Bible than it does about prosperity. And you'd think, oh my goodness, all these people are preaching how God wants you to be blessed, and he does. How many know he'll bless you? He'll take care of you. He will walk with you. He'll provide for you. But here's some more, but there's more about fasting, and I don't hear too many messages on fasting in most of the church. I'm not saying every church, but very little. Acts 27, verse 20 through 25. Let's look there. here they had fasted and prayed and set some elders in. Acts chapter 27. Verse 20 says this. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. Now this is what we were talking about with Paul. And no small tempest beat on us. There's a big storm. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disastrous loss. This disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. And here they had some time, and you said, well, maybe they weren't eaten because of the storm. But Paul, apparently he was specifically using this fasting, seeking God. Lord, what do we do? We're in the storm. Amen. Sometimes you get in a storm. Everybody says, well, you know, let's take care of you, and we want to pet the flesh. We want our flesh to feel good. It might be a time you need to fast. Still that storm. Get the answer, amen? We want the answer. Paul received the answer, became the captain of the ship. Hallelujah. So know that there are some advantages. And so the early church fasted. And the way I've seen, at least so far in the Bible, I haven't found any place where they ever questioned fasting. And they just appeared to accept it as something that they were to do. It's as though they recognized that fasting was something that they needed to do. In fact, nowhere in Scripture is there a record where anyone argued the need to fast. They didn't argue. But it is clearly evident that the Bible does say something about Christians and fasting. Nevertheless, there's been very little teaching about fasting in many churches. And generally speaking, there's far more teaching about prosperity than there is on fasting. Yet, from Matthew to Revelation, there are three times more references to fasting than there are to sowing and reaping. Verses used in many of these popular teachings that people have on prosperity, which, don't get me wrong, you know what? I'm for prospering. I really am. God's for prospering you. God doesn't want you poor. He said, I want the gospel preached to the poor. I want them to have enough. And you can have enough. And when you know your God, guess what? When the Holy Ghost begins to send you, there'll be provision for you. There'll be enough. It'll happen. It'll be just that way. God will be sure to it, and he will help you understand the answers. So, all right, we know that the early church did fast and so forth, and we know that it is clear of what is happening as we are declaring that place of our flesh declared dead, and we are exercising the place where our spirit's been declared. Where are we? Where are you? You're seated with him, aren't you? In heavenly places, far above all work of the enemy. That is a spiritual position. In other words, they call that a spiritual truth. It's something there, a positional truth is what we call that in the Christian world. In other words, you're not actually there, but you are. In the spiritual realm, you have that kind of authority. In other words, this is my place seated with Christ. Why? Because that's where he is and I'm in him. And where he is, I am. And where he is, I am. He's in me and I'm in him. We are one. So he lives with you and in you, but you're also with him and in him seated far above the work of the enemy, with him in Christ, and your authority is then released. And you're moving your flesh to that place where it's not hindering us, but it's getting out of the way. We're letting our mind, our will, our emotion be presented to him, humbling ourselves. Lord, have your will. Your way be done. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. And we're allowing the things that we perhaps even our faith. See, our faith can be increased with fasting. He said, this kind of unbelief that the disciples had, he said, it doesn't come out except by fasting and prayer. You got to have prayer, and we have to have fasting. It's part of our walk with God. It's part of what we do. It's part of us becoming and fully being transformed to the image of Christ. And that's what we're going to be doing this next week. I had many other things here, but we'll stop right there today. And it seems like I've always got more material than I can finish anyway. We got a whole book here, you know, and I guess we could start at Genesis and go to Revelation, but we would be here quite a while. So I think it takes about 72 hours to actually read through the Bible if you just went nonstop. So. Hallelujah. You do that shorter in the New Testament, but when you include the Old Testament, it increases. But praise the Lord. Let's thank God. Let's just thank God for this opportunity. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for this next week and say, Lord, this is what I want to see. You know, find that thing you really want to deal with. You know, or maybe there's a person you've been praying for a while. You want to see a breakthrough. Or maybe it's your own heart. Say, Lord, I need to surrender my will more fully. Lord, I need to hear from God for this situation, Lord. Amen. How many want to do that? How many believe that you'll have that in our flesh will be less, your spirit's going to come to ascendancy, and you're going to see some victory in your life. Amen. And hopefully, if you have anything else, you know, if there's, you know, some people have other issues in their flesh. You know, they're struggling. You know, maybe somebody's listening today. Good chance. You know, you say, well, I have a trouble. My problem is I like to look at pornography on the internet. Or you like to get into other things, you know, with other people on the internet. You know, maybe some of you girls are in a, you know, fake romantic relationship with people. You know, and it needs to stop. And you say, well, I like it. I like how it makes me feel. They talk to me nice. And I like that. Well, that's the whole point of fasting, to help cut that out and to allow your spirit and spend time in prayer and build yourself up above those things. Amen. So that they can be destroyed out of your life. So, well, you didn't have to go there. Well, no, I didn't. But God is a holy God. And he wants us to walk with him in holiness and righteousness. That's who you really are. The real you comes forward. Amen. And so he will help you. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. I know people have been, you know, they're stuck in drugs. Or maybe you're, you know, there's other things that could be external. But how many know there's internal things like unforgiveness in our heart sometimes we got to look at? Is there somebody I just can't, oh, I don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive them? Or you're only going to go so far with God. You know, he'll deal with you. He'll help you overcome that. This is hope. This is not condemnation. This is hope to overcome. Amen. So think about it this week. Is there something in my life? What do I need? Do I need finance in my life? Is that blocking me? You know, I'm going to seek the Lord. You know, what is it, Lord? Where are you? You know, am I not believing you? Am I not trusting you? What do I need to know? You know, Father, I need your wisdom. I need your help. Wisdom in your life. Or maybe you're not walking, or you say, well, I don't have much peace in my life. You can walk at another level. You can walk at another place, another understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Or maybe it's that worry. You know, you worry about things. How many know we can cast our care on the Lord and begin to trust him, be free of worrying about all the time? Amen. Worrying about things all the time. Hallelujah. So there's a lot of different things. So think about it this week. what am I going after? Maybe you have somebody that you know you've been praying for a while and they're not born again yet, and you want to keep lifting them up. You want to see them saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father God, that we have this key of fasting that will help to strengthen us in our spirit, Lord, when we pray, and to keep our flesh at bay, Lord, and to control our emotions, and to see things fall off of our life, Father, and to put our flesh under, Lord, and allow our spirit man to reign and to rule and to soar with you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, as we enter into this week, Lord, I pray for breakthrough in different areas of people's life. Maybe it's their health, Lord. Maybe it's they need healing in some area, Father. Lord, if it's sickness or disease, we curse that even now in the name of Jesus. Command it to go. Lord, and we thank you, Father, for financial breakthrough. Lord, for people to have different areas of their life, Father, peace into their mind, to receive from God his love as never before, to be freed from that heartache. Maybe it's a brokenheartedness in you, or maybe you don't know why you're hurting. Maybe you're trying to serve God. You say, I'm doing all I know, and I don't know why my heart hurts. And you're here today, you say, hey, you know, I need that. I'm going to enter into this fast. I'm going to seek God about that. Why do I not care about other people? Why do I not want to see other people saved? So begin to seek the Lord. Father, we thank you for your grace upon each person. I'm going to pray for grace for fasting, Lord, that they will have the grace of God, the empowerment of heaven to help them, Lord, to move into that place in fasting and prayer, Lord, and to let your presence so consume and begin to set free all of us in the name of Jesus. I pray for that. Amen and amen.